This is Dr. Max Shouts, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. It is our privilege to be with you now for this half hour, and we hope that you have your Bibles out and you're ready to follow along, because that's the only way that we learn the Word of God is to give it out and you take it in. We'll be back in just a moment. So good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at this same time, and we count it our privilege to be able to come into your homes and to spend this time with you. If you have your Bibles now, we'll get right into our Bible lesson here this morning. On the speaking in tongues, we are now up here to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So if you have your Bibles, you can be opening them there with us, if you will, so that you can follow along in this verse-by-verse exposition here of the speaking in tongues. While you're turning there in your Bibles, let me remind you now, in this last chapter here, we have outlined it. In verses 1 to 6, we have the church is to be controlled by edification. In verses 7 to 19, the church is to be controlled by clarity. And then in verses 20 to 25, the church is to be controlled by maturity. And then in verses 26 to 40, we have the church is to be controlled by order. And that is the process which God wants us to follow. Now, the 13th chapter, as we have previously studied, has shown that when the book of Revelation, or the last book of the Bible, is written, then when God's word to us, mankind, is complete, the speaking of tongues, along with knowledge and prophecy and speaking in tongues, will be done away. And we have found that. But until that is completed, the book of Revelation, God's completed word, then we find out God said, I'll not withdraw the speaking of tongues, even though you solely, grossly misuse this gift, as long as, well as many of the others. You've put this above all others. I will not withdraw it, but I will give you the regulations in order to use it while it is in effect. Now, this is only until about 96 A.D., until the book of Revelation had completed God's word. Now, in chapter 14, we find the italicized word unknown does not appear in the Greek text, as with all italicized words found in the King James translation. Now, these were supplied by the translators to help clarify the meaning, and in most cases, it really does. Tongues in Corinth were, in one sense, known, and yet, in another sense, they were unknown. Now, to clarify what we mean, the one speaking in tongues did not know what was said unless God also gave the gift of interpretation. Those listening did not understand until the interpreter told them what was said in their own language. Yet, what is unknown in one place has a meaning somewhere else in the world without being interpreted. In verse 10, we find this. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Now, let us begin here now with that little bit of introduction. Let us begin here with verse 1 of the 14th chapter. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, and rather that you prophesy. Now, first of all, at Corinth, tongues were sought after above the rest of the gifts. Follow after charity literally means to pursue after love. It is good to desire spiritual gifts, but more important than all the gifts is the giving forth of the Word of God. The true love of God separates the person who talks of God from the person who walks with God. If a person truly loves the Lord, they would desire to pursue God's priorities. Now we can see why the Lord begins chapter 14 with follow after love or charity. All of chapter 14 is God's correction concerning tongues. It all begins with, are we willing to follow and obey God's word? Therefore, we should first desire to give the word of God to others, second, have a desire for spiritual gifts, and third, accept what gift or gifts that God wills for us to have. Fourth, we should covet earnestly, that is, pursue to the best of our ability with God's grace those gifts for his exaltation. Now, let's go here to verses 2 to 5, and let's read these, if you will. Follow with me. Verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown, remember unknown is italicized, does not belong in the Greek text. Tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh in mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown, or should be he that speaketh in a tongue, edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive the edifying. Now, in these verses, the Lord gives the contrast, the good versus the bad, the positive versus the negative, and the speaker will, as opposed to God's will. And here's the contrast between their era and God's rebuke. Now, all tongue speakers will pull these verses, yank them out of context, and use any little tiny portion they want to support the speaking in tongues. But let's examine it in the context, and let's see, and you're going to find that what they take to support tongues is actually a rebuke of God putting down their tongues and saying, hey, you have the wrong idea, you have the wrong motive, you have the wrong manifestation, you have the wrong desire. And what you're doing is wrong. So the 14th chapter is a correction, not an endorsement. Now, first of all, we find here in verse 2, they were speaking in tongues without an interpreter. Now, this is clearly an error, as verse 2 states, no man understandeth. Underline that in your Bible. Now, we're going to give you the error, and then we're going to give you the rebuke. So we're going to give you each one as we go on down. Now, the rebuke to this is, if they had one interpreting, every person in the assembly would have understood and been edified. You see, any tongues spoken in Corinth without an interpreter were counterfeit and not of the Lord. Why? Because God forbid tongues except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. And this is not brought out by the tongues people. You see, the one referred to here as the interpreter is the speaker himself. Now notice, if you will, if this were not true, notice, except he interpret should read, except someone interpret. And here we find that the speaker himself was also given the gift of interpretation. Now, notice in verse 2a, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, for no man understandeth. This is the error. This error led to many more deviations from God's will and his word, as we shall see. Now, this was exactly opposite of God's will. The church was to be edified. This condemns any private use of tongues today, the same as it did in Corinth. Now, let's go to verse 2 on the last part. The speaker was speaking in tongues to God. That's the error. First of all, now let me repeat it. The speaker was speaking in tongues to God. Now that's the error. Now, this was not God's will. Now get this. And many times, if you read this, just take it what God's word says, there is absolutely no foundation for this whatsoever. They say, well, I'm just speaking to God. Well, if you are, you're wrong, because that was not the purpose of tongues in Corinth. It was not God's will. For God wanted them to address him with full understanding of what they were saying. Now, we can see why the Lord said in verse 2 in the last part, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. And he does. That is, he does not understand what he is saying. God wants his children to communicate to him with full understanding of what they mean and what they say. Now, let's go down here to verse 3, if you will. Notice here, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, they did not seek to prophesy. That is, to give forth the word of God. Now, here's the rebuke. This is proof that they wanted self-glorification instead of Christ's glorification. You see, God had to remind them that they needed to grow up as men and be concerned about others. Verse 3 instructs them that he that prophesieth, that is, speaking God's word, speaketh unto men to edification. exhortation and comfort, and this is God's will, which they were too ignorant to acknowledge. And that's exactly what the Scriptures teach. It is so simple a child can understand it. It is only when the tongues people yank it out and twist it around and then shut the Bible and do not read it in context that it confuses a lot of people and misleads many, many people. In fact, when I've talked to tongues people, they'll sit in church and they'll have their Bible closed and they'll listen to the tongues man open his Bible, read one or two verses or part of a verse, whatever he wants to extract, and then run around all over the stage like some clown and trying to convince the audience that he has the in touch with God, stamping his feet, yelling at the top of his voice, and if he needs additional support, we'll get the organ going, and we'll add that for emphasis, and then all of a sudden in his so-called preaching, he'll yibber-yabber-yibber-yabber, and ask to convince you that God has his hand on him. There couldn't be anything further from the truth. In fact, it's nothing more than Satan having his hand on him, because it is contrary to God's word. What we're saying is this. Maybe you've spoken in tongues. Before you get mad and jump up and turn the radio off, we can only urge you to go to the Bible so that you can rebuke the deception that you've been deceived with. And the only way that you can do it is by God's word, or you'll take a feeling over the Bible, and that would be a catastrophe, not only for you, but for the Lord and other people that come in contact with you, because you will contaminate them with the same kind of tongues that you've been contaminated with, which is contrary to God's word. Now, let's go on down, if you will, and notice here in verse 4, if you will. He that speaketh in a tongue, unknown is not in the manuscripts, edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth, edifieth the church. Now, they wanted to edify themselves in Corinth. That's the reason God wrote this rebuke, by speaking in so-called tongues. Now, he that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself. You see how you can twist and turn that? God's saying, that is what you're doing. You're edifying yourself, but that's not my purpose. And yet tongues people will take that out and say, hey, if you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. No, that's not what God's saying. Yes, you do edify yourself, but it's not what God wants you to do. You can be edified by reading the Word of God, not speaking in tongues. The Word of God is what edifies you. The Word of God is what builds you up. But what he's saying is simply this. You do edify yourself, but that is not my purpose for giving you tongues. My purpose is, and read it right here in the Bible, is to edify the church, not to edify yourself. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself. This is their will instead of God's will, and I would write it in my Bible and put it down if you honestly want the truth concerning tongues. Now, notice here also in verse 4 and verse 13. Let's read here verse 13. Wherefore let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. There must be an interpreter. Now, God's will is that the church receive the edifying by giving them his word. Notice here, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. See what we mean? That's what God says. I want the church to be edified. I want my word. Prophesieth means give forth the word of God. Now, the best way for the believer to edify himself is to build up others in the faith and to help them grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the best way. You see, when you help somebody else, and we find this in 2 Peter 3:18, find the same thing. We help them grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this today, as in Corinth, is the difference between a true love of God, which manifests itself in putting others first, and that of a religion of shallow emotionalism, which tends to exalt oneself. Now, let's go down to the last part here of verse 4. All right, verse 4, the last part. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. They did not seek to give forth the word of God so the assembly could be edified. Now, let's give the rebuke. As it was in Corinth, so is it today. The multiplicity of small groups meeting in private homes to edify themselves by speaking in tongues is evidence they are not edified sufficiently by studying the Word of God. Now, mark that down. Let me repeat it again. First of all, as it was in Corinth, so it is today. Of all the small groups meeting in private homes to edify themselves by speaking in tongues, now get this, why in the world do they have to edify themselves by speaking in tongues? It is nothing more than evidence that they are not edified sufficiently by studying the rest of the Word of God. Now in verse 5, let's go on. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy, that is, give forth the word of God. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive the edifying. Notice in your Bible, I would write it every time in the 14th chapter here, many places, that the church receive the edifying. Tongues were never given for private little meetings for self-edification. Never. Now in verse 5, this verse again re-emphasizes their desire for themselves to physically experience the sensationalism of speaking in tongues, and they had no concern for an interpretation. Now, the reproof. Since they had no one in interpreting, it was proof that they were interested in no one but themselves. How much of the manifestation supposedly coming from God, and all of it was a counterfeit. None of it was coming from God because it all contradicts the Word of God. Now he rebukes them again, trying to impress upon them that except he interpret, that the church may receive the edifying, not yourselves. Underline the church may receive the edifying. That eliminates all these little spiritual groups that get together underhand. It's almost like an underground church in a way. You see, one thing dishonest with the Scripture always leads to something else. I've had women tell me, you know, I've been invited to go, but don't tell your husband, he may get upset. And then try to get you, that'll cause problems at home. You see how one lie with the Scriptures leads to another lie in your life? And all this, God never sanctioned any of these little private groups to meet together, to speak in tongues, to be edified. He said, you're edifying yourself, that is not my purpose. You should be edified by the Word of God that you're reading and studying on how to grow as a Christian. But what you're doing is, you are, when I gave tongues, was that the church should be receive the edifying. I want them built up, and I want an interpreter so that everyone there can understand. Now, let's go down here, if you will, to verse 6. Let's take this. We'll go just as far as we can possibly get today. In verse 6, we find out here, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? I'd put a big X by this verse because we're going to give a little lengthy exposition on it, find out the absolute phoniness and counterfeit of a satanic spirit that was putting out things contrary to the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 6, this verse again reemphasizes to the individual that tongues were to profit the listener. Now the reason, God's word edifies and builds up the believer. The interpreter gave forth the word of God in their language with words easy to be understood, and Paul uses the example of himself coming unto them for their profit. What shall I profit you? In like manner, those speaking in tongues were to go unto others for their profit, not their own, you see. Now notice carefully, here is something that I think we can cover here a minute before our time is expired. Notice carefully, the listener could not profit unless the speaker was speaking by the Holy Spirit and manifested whether by, get this now, revelation is the first thing. Number 2 is knowledge. Number 3 is prophesying. And number 4 is doctrine. And had those who were speaking in tongues been doing it by the Holy Spirit, then there would have been no need for the instructions and the rebuke in this verse. This is proof that a counterfeit spirit was working in and through the speaker. They were not speaking by revelation. They were not speaking by knowledge of the Holy Spirit. They were not prophesying or giving forth the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, and nor doctrine. They had no doctrine from God in it whatsoever. And when God has to reprove them for that, a counterfeit spirit, and just as we had found in the first part of these chapters in Revelation or in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, how can you curse Jesus Christ except you cannot curse him by the Holy Spirit? Right in with this, the demonic spirit was speaking through the people, actually cursing Jesus Christ. It had no revelation. It had no doctrine in it whatsoever. And none of these things were to profit the listener. No wonder Satan did not want it interpreted, because if someone could interpret it, it would have actually been downright blasphemy within the church of Jesus Christ, and he would have ha-ha'd and laughed how he was using the speaker who was so deceived because he was not following the Holy Spirit as laid down by the guidelines here in and concerning tongues. Now, notice here, if you will. Again, it's proof that a counterfeit spirit was working in and through the speaker. If they were not speaking by revelation, or I should say not if they were not, but they were not speaking by revelation, knowledge, prophecy, or doctrine. If they had been, there would have been no need again for this verse to be in the Bible. Added illumination appears when we examine the meaning of these four words, and this is going to be very interesting to you. We're going to have to break here. Our time's going. But we're going to take and examine them in the Greek, what it means by revelation, what it means by knowledge, what it means by prophesying, and what it means by doctrine, and then you're going to see that all their speaking in tongues in Corinth lacked all of these, and this is what God said. If my message in tongues with an interpreter does not contain these, you have been deceived, and it did not contain that, the same as you find today in the so-called tongues meetings and movements today. They are as counterfeit as 100% of anything of the Holy Spirit, and Satan loves to laugh at that kind of stuff. He loves to deceive you, to giving you a religious experience without any knowledge of the Word of God, and he can do it only if you do not study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. It's been so good to be with you again this Sunday morning. We would encourage you to drop us a line and let us know that you're listening. We always like to hear from you. But I see our time's gone. We'll pick it up here next week and continue on here. So let me ask you, what are you trusting? Are you trusting your self-righteousness? Or are you trusting the blood of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for your sins and promised that whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have everlasting life? Well, thank you for joining with us, and I hope you'll continue next week and follow along in this series here. We hope you'll take time to write. Our mailing address is The Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.